It's a ruckus number two.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Ruckus with Rachel
and Justin. And before we get started, I would like to give a big, what the kids are calling a shout out to my buddy Matt for providing us with our awesome new Ruckus theme music. What do you think about that?
They're not saying anything back, but I'm sure they're crazy about it and they're cheering.
I was asking you, actually.
Oh. Well, I think that Matt deserves a shout-out because he's done an excellent job, and he's served up a dish for us that is nothing less than perfection, and he's a man who delivers on his promises, and he delivers big. And for that, I say thank you, Matt.
He delivers big and en masse. He delivered 10 options for us with the music, and he did serve it up. He served it up cold. Which is a temperature that revenge is best served at.
So, Justin, shall we start today's segment with news articles?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
So, it was the biggest, baddest, meanest froggy ever to have hopped on Earth. Justin, have you heard of the ancient devil frog that may have eaten baby dinosaurs?
Of course I have. Are you kidding me?
Scientists on Monday announced a discovery in northwestern Madagascar of a bulky amphibian dubbed the devil frog that lived 65 million to 70 million years ago and was so nasty it may have eaten newborn dinosaurs.
Does that necessarily make it nasty or hungry?
Well, you know, I think that this article writer really wanted to really ham it up.
Yeah, he was really going with
it. I mean, you can write an article about a stupid big frog, or you can be like, carnivorous, nasty, evil frog, you know.
Yeah, we like to assign personalities to the animal kingdom.
Well, it does make it fun to read.
Mm-hmm. You know, the more I hear about Madagascar,
oh yeah,
the more I think people don't belong there. That's really, we should give that one over to the animals.
There may still be a dinosaur on Madagascar, all we know.
I'm sure there is. If there isn't, there's some sort of beetle or caterpillar or centipede that is the size of a dinosaur living there right now.
Well, let me tell you more about this frog, because this is a fascinating piece of information.
Please do.
Its name, its technical name, is Beelzebufo ampinga. Came from Beelzebub, the Greek for devil, and bufo, Latin for toad. Ampinga means shield, named for an armor-like part of its anatomy. It was 16 inches long and weighed an estimated 10 pounds. It was powerfully built and possessed a very wide mouth and powerful jaws. It probably didn't dine daintily.
Beelzebufo.
Mm-hmm. Quote, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Beelzebufo took down lizards and mammals and smaller frogs and even, considering its size, possibly hatchling dinosaurs, Krauss said in a telephone interview. It would have been quite mean, added paleontologist Susan Evans of University College of London, another of the scientists.
May I?
Please.
Okay. How familiar are you with Greek mythology?
Not very familiar.
Beelzebufo is what they call it when you get ass-fucked by the devil, according to the Greeks.
Well, I have to tell you that I immediately had to post the mock-up illustration based upon scientific findings on MySpace for my friend Bella, because Bella has been enamored of frogs for many, many a year. And while she is currently in possession of a hairless cat as her primary pet, this has been the last in a series of many, 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 many frogs that she's owned. And so I figured, Bella's loves Satan and all that. So I was like, it couldn't be more perfectly fitted news for Bella. And so Bella, this is for you.
Does she actually love Satan? Or
I don't know if she loves Satan, but I think that she loves being offensive. Now we're ready for news story numero dos. Fontana, California.
That's close by.
A hunger for carnitas nearly led to some carnage after a Fontana man was robbed of a bag of tacos at gunpoint.
Do you know what carnitas are?
Meat.
That's right. They yeah. are.
Police Sergeant Jeff Decker said the 35-year-old victim had just bought about $20 in tacos from a street corner stand Sunday night and was bicycling home when the suspect confronted him and said, "Give me your tacos." Decker, which I'm not thinking of Blade Runner, but that's Deckard, but that's still funny.
Of course.
Decker said the suspect grabbed the bag of food, punched the victim in the face, and began to flee. When the victim demanded his tacos back, the suspect pointed what appeared to be a handgun at the man and threatened to kill him before running away. That's yeah. it. That's all I got. That was a real short one.
Some people really like carnitas. I had a roommate who really liked them.
I don't think he really had a gun.
You don't?
I suspect the whole thing was a joke.
Have you ever bought food from the corner vendor guys?
No, not really.
Those you know those little tacos? They're literally little itty-bitty ones?
I've never done it. I've only seen them, but I've never really lived.
You've seen them in movies and stuff. And
I've seen them on the street here, but I'm afraid of them.
Well, I'm just thinking $20 worth of carnitas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah, I guess the guy was really hungry. I would probably be more likely to try to... Well, okay, if I didn't really have a handgun and I saw somebody who clearly had food, I would grab the food and run and brandish what appeared to be a handgun.
I certainly...
But if I really had a handgun, I'd rob you of your money.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't try to get into an exchange with somebody if I was trying to steal food with them from them. I would be more of the... I would be more of like the thief, rogue type than the fighter, confrontationist. Confrontationist. Is that a word?
Sure. I'll give it a go.
Okay.
So that was a fun one. I liked that, you know, death or tacos.
Is that what it's called, or did you come up
with
that?
I think it was called something like that. Death yeah, or tacos. I think it was called, like, tacos or your life or something like that.
If those are really the options, you can have the tacos. Frankly.
That's right. I can get a taco somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so this next article, I picked it out because I know it'll be near and dear to your heart, Justin. Here we go. Lindsay Lohan is following in the footsteps of the most famous blonde bombshell of them all, Marilyn Monroe.
Two people that I love.
So have you heard of what she's up to?
I love them both. But wait. Before you start reading away, she's doing a remake of 7 Year Itch.
Well, it really would be great if she remade a Marilyn Monroe comedy, because Lindsay Lohan is great at comedy. And actually, when I think about it, her comedy style is very similar to the Marilyn Monroe comedy style.
The completely full of drugs and cannot remember your lines comedy stylings of Marilyn Monroe.
Well, but kind of the cute, ditzy, innocent kind of thing. You know, she kind of pulls that off well.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Lindsay Lohan's really at her funniest when she plays a little bit clever. Like in Mean Girls, she was... And frankly, when we talk about good Lindsay Lohan roles... Let's just all agree, we're talking about Mean Girls.
Yes.
So, she's not remaking something. She is remaking a Marilyn Monroe movie, though. Was I right about that?
No, actually, you're not right about that. But who knows, that could be next if this publicity stint goes well.
Is she dating Joe DiMaggio?
Yes, through her Ouija board. Oh. That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course, I'm hoping that means that he's dead. I'm assuming he is, but maybe he's not. Okay. In the issue of New York Magazine on sale Monday, that would be today, the 21-year-old star of Mean Girls and Freaky Friday poses nude for photographer Bert Stern in a recreation of one of Monroe's most famous photo shoots done shortly before she died.
Oh, dear God, that is even better than the 7 Year Itch.
I thought you'd like that. It does mm-hmm. sounds very exciting, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Stern photographed Monroe in 1962 at the Hotel Bel Air in California, 6 weeks before she was found dead from an overdose of barbiturates. Those images for Vogue magazine feature Monroe in next to nothing, posing nude with some scarves and jewelry as her accessories and sipping champagne.
So are they basically going to recreate those Marilyn Monroe photos using Lindsay Lohan?
That's right, at the same hotel with Lohan wearing a blonde wig and not much else, is what it says here in the old article.
So, like, this guy's career at this point, like, let's say he was 20 when he photographed Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost 70 now, right? 60, 70, somewhere around there. And
so 40 years later, 45 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically what he's doing is, like, getting all of his assistants to look at the photo and recreate. Like, is he really creative anymore at that point?
Well, I mean, I think this is totally a publicity stint for both of them, you know? And I think it's very interesting because later on in the article, Lohan is quoted talking about Monroe's tragic suicide and Heath Ledger's accidental overdose. And then she talks about how she's always related to Monroe's life. And I think it's kind of odd that the timing of this is happening, you know, shortly after Heath Ledger's death. And I'm wondering if it, you know, Heath Ledger died and people were like, oh, what can we do about, you know. I doubt this was being planned in December, I'll tell you that much.
When you look at what's available on the shelves at the magazine stands,
mm-hmm.
I think it's like People are one of them where it's got a cover with Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee's son.
Right.
Like all these people, like dead before their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
River
and they're doing,
Phoenix.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they're doing this big homage to people who passed away. And I think that's what happens every time a young person in Hollywood dies, is that we as a nation decide that, you know, this is such a huge tragedy. Now let's remember, you know, Rebel Without a Cause.
So do you think that Lindsay Lohan's choice to do this photo shoot at this time is in bad taste?
No. I mean, unless you object to nudity. But, I mean, I don't think it's in bad taste for her to... No. That's fine. Frankly, you know, as much as I'd like to see Lindsay Lohan's boobies, I would prefer to see her do the 7-year itch. Like, I think that would be more entertaining.
Well, I have to agree with you. I because I'm a bit cynical, I suspect that this is sort of thematically and in consciousness riding on the curtails of this whole theme that we've just been talking about young, dead, rising stars and kind of going with the mood that's been created with the nation and playing on that. And I'm not entirely sure that I, as an artist, I certainly wouldn't do it.
I'm okay with it.
I guess, yeah, right. Well, I guess she can do it if she wants to, but I'm just saying it's not a choice that's not an artistic choice that I would make if I wanted to, you know, do something to create publicity and have it comment in any way upon a tragic event. I think, you know, I would do something a little bit different. But
you know what I think? I think that it's about time that we move away from Marilyn Monroe as being the pinnacle of sexiness. Personally, I think Audrey Hepburn was way hotter.
But I think that Audrey Hepburn had a nice long life and died of nice natural type causes. And what makes Marilyn Monroe so intriguing to everybody as a sex symbol, or, you know, her story is more intriguing because of how she rose from, she came from like a country girl and she rose to big stardom and then she had this tragic death. And
we never had to see her old.
That's right. We never did.
Yeah. She was always young. How old is Lindsay Lohan now? 20?
21 is what 21. It said in the article, yeah.
Wow, that's like Drew Barrymore, how she was.
Yeah, well, I think that they all go through that. And I think that they said something about how, oh, the photographer said this is a good move for Lindsay because this will portray her as more of a woman now. So she's trying to get into the woman stage of her career and get out of the teeny bopper stage and maybe changing her fan base or expanding her fan base from 12 and 13-year-olds to, you know, young women. And a lot of people do that. Madonna did that. You know, Madonna went from the teeny bopper stage to the young women. Gwen Stefani did it.
Gwen Stefani got naked?
She didn't get naked, but she changed her image from, you know, being like a little kid to being more of a glamorous kind of thing to try to be more attractive to a bigger base. And actually, even Courtney Love, who we hate, I don't know if you remember, but she went through a little phase where she showed up at some award ceremony looking like a 1940s starlet. And there's, I think, the only time she ever looked pretty. And it was like for a flashing moment. And then she went back to being a skank. But, you know.
I have some pretty negative feelings about Courtney Love in general.
Right.
And as far as Gwen Stefani's concerned, I actually think that what she was doing back when she was in No Doubt, I think was, well, maybe not their first album, but after that, I think was a little bit more mature sounding than when she's doing songs like Eat Bananas and, you know, shit like that. Like, and away, away, oh, like, that doesn't sound like she's trying to reach a grown-up audience to me.
Well, I fully agree with you in terms of the content of her work, or any of their work, for that matter. But the image is, you know, how they look, physically how they look, is, I think, what I'm trying to point out is, you know, how they're trying to shift that base. But, yeah, for all we know, Lindsay Lohan may continue to do, you know, Disney movies. But
I think
she's trying to look older, so...
I think that's what's going to make the difference at the end of the day. And you notice people like, I don't know, who is an actress that you can think of that has transitioned from being a child star into being a grown-up?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, there you go. And she never had to do, like, you know, she just picked different roles. What happened
to... Jodie Foster was always kind of butch, though.
So?
So? I don't know, that's different somehow, you know?
It's not. It's the only difference between Jodie Foster and some of these other people that you've mentioned, this entire list, Gwen Stefani, Marilyn Monroe, is that Jodie Foster has always been a good actor.
That's true.
And she's always done good roles. But, you know, she does some questionable ones now, like Flight Plan and that one, the revenge movie that she's in.
Well, we haven't seen that, so we don't know. It could be fantastic.
Rarely am I surprised... seeing the movie after the trailer looks that bad.
Well, I have to agree with you. And now I'm going to move on to the next news story. But that was a lively discussion about Lindsay. And we'll tell you on the next podcast after we visit Barnes & Noble what we came up with after looking at The New Yorker.
If we get to see the nipples or not.
If we get to see the nipples or not.
Is your next story that Jodie Foster is getting naked?
No.
Okay.
No. It's about the moon. The moon will turn an eerie shade of red for people in the Western Hemisphere late Wednesday and early Thursday, recreating the eclipse that saved Christopher Columbus more than 5 centuries ago.
Because
an eclipse is credited with saving the life of Columbus and his crew in 1504. He was stranded on the coast of Jamaica. The explorers were running out of food, and they were faced with an increasingly hostile local inhabitant population. They were refusing to provide them with any supplies. Columbus, looking at an astronomical almanac compiled by a German mathematician, realized that a total eclipse of the moon would occur on February 29th. He called the native leaders and warned them if they don't cooperate, he would make the moon disappear from the sky the following night. And that came true, and the people were terrified, and they gave him all kinds of supplies, and then they were finally rescued on June 29th of that year.
What a manipulative prick.
Well, you know, when you're faced with starvation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a feeling this isn't the first time he deceived people.
No, I don't think so either. So anyway, there's going to be an eclipse. It's going to look red. It's going to be cool. And I'm excited about it. I love that stuff.
What day is that?
That's going to be late Wednesday, early Thursday. We'll have to look it up and find out the exact time. Okay, this is my final story.
Okay, you go right into it then.
It's a little bit sad.
Don't let me slow you down.
I'm just trying to keep the momentum here. I'm trying to keep the pace up. Schools in Washington State and California took beef off the menu on Monday after a Californian meat packer recalled the largest amount of beef in U.S. history.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Meat packing is also what they call it when Satan butt fucks you.
Yes, I see there's a theme running through the entire thing.
Go ahead.
The company based in Chino, California, voluntarily recalled the beef after the Federal Food Safety Inspection Service determined the cattle did not receive complete and proper inspection. This is actually kind of sad. The company did not consistently contact the FSIS, public health veterinarian, in situations in which the cattle became non-ambulatory before being slaughtered. Federal rules usually ban the slaughter of downed cattle, those unable to walk, as a safeguard against mad cow disease or bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Thank you. Third try went well. So basically what happened is whether or not the animals were really at risk for these diseases
They were treated so poorly that they couldn't walk. And if an animal can't walk, you're not supposed to slaughter it for eating. But they, you know, they showed a video. There was like an undercover video of how they were treating the cattle. And unfortunately, I subjected myself to it. And it's really very sad. And I don't really like to eat beef anyway, because it's not very good for you, in my opinion. But it's really weird to look at a video like that and to see how they were treating those animals. And then to think of, like, well, for me, what I thought was interesting to think about is how, like, the people of India, like, worship the cow as, you know, kind of like a manifestation of God. And, I mean, if I thought my stomach was turning looking at it, like, I mean, you know, imagine, you know, like, if you were a Christian and, you know, you saw people prodding at Jesus and, you know, like, poking him and he can't walk and...
Mel Gibson directed that movie, actually.
Oh, you're right. He did. So, well, that's kind of freaky.
This was like the Passion of the Christ for Hindu people.
It is. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. And yeah, it was very sad.
I can't watch those kinds of things.
No, don't do it.
With animals, people, anything. I don't like to see people tortured. I don't like to see animals tortured. I don't enjoy movies like Hostel or any of that stuff. I read this interview with the director, Eli Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he wanted to originally do a documentary about these rich guys who go out and actually kill people. Like, mm-hmm. they pay enough money and they can go kill people. And then I guess he was like, but then I realized these are people who kill people. So he made Hostel instead.
Yeah, it's pretty damned sick. And, you know, in China, you can, if you're a rich person, you can pay to see somebody get killed. Guess when you're rich, you know, you can have all kinds of thrills, and then you get to a point where you're like, what's the next thrill? And apparently the next thrill is seeing people die or killing people and getting away with it. You know, it's like feeling powerful beyond anybody else's imagining to just do whatever the fuck you want because you got money. So, we're moving to Portland. Did you hear?
So we will be leaving Long Beach in June and moving up to Portland. Which is, it's a nice time of year to move.
The weather will be delightful.
I like taking road trips. A lot of people don't like to drive places. I love driving places. I was actually thinking today how much fun it would be to drive. We're going to Ohio in August. And I was thinking, plane tickets are so expensive to fly from Portland to Ohio. And it's actually ridiculous because... if you want to go on the train, it costs just as much as it does to fly. If we were leaving from LA, it would cost half of what it costs to go from Portland. Which, you know, for two people, adds up pretty quick. That's like another $600. So I was thinking what would be cool, if we had the time, which we might not, is to drive up through Washington, go all the way across Canada, and then come down Michigan into Ohio. And that would be fun.
I love driving through Canada. I think that sounds really dope. In fact, I like Vancouver. Yeah, I think we should consider that, actually, as a potential option. You know, we may be very broke. Hopefully we'll have jobs that'll let us do that. I don't know. It certainly could be a very interesting idea.
Well, we have traveled about that far in the past and not only been broke, but in the negatives.
That's true.
Eating toenail clippings that we found in the floor and, you know, stealing sodas from the McDonald's.
Well, I wouldn't say that we were stealing the sodas. Actually, for our audience's understanding, what we would do is we would purchase a large Coke at 9 a.m. along with our breakfast meal. And then all along the way, we would get our free refills all across the fine states of the middle of America.
I don't think the refills are technically free when they're 600 miles apart from each other.
I disagree. I think we were just getting our free refills. I don't think Ronald McDonald or God is upset at us about this. We were broke. We needed our sugar and our caffeine.
That was really the whole thing about it. It wasn't so much that we were thirsty. It's just that if we didn't keep drinking soda, we would end up in a ditch somewhere because we'd be asleep.
That's right. And from my many years working in the restaurant industry, I happen to know that those refills cost that company maybe a penny or two didn't cost them much to give us that Coke, but
you know what? The stink eye is free, and they give that out in large doses when you walk in and get a refill.
Not like you would know. You never did it. You were afraid.
That's because I got the stink eye.
All you gotta do, the thing is, the key to this, folks, is acting like you know what you're doing.
That's the key.
And acting like you belong there. And then nobody questions you.
That, my friends, is the key to any good crime.
That's right. and any good lie.
Yeah, you walk right into a museum and you act like you're supposed to be there. I'm just here to polish the diamonds. And you wear some sort of diamond polishing jersey and you're out the door, baby. The key to a good lie, on the other hand, now that you've brought it up, is no details. No details. If you're going to lie to your boss, two things I would recommend. Number one, I'm sick. I'm not coming into work today. The end.
Mm-hmm.
None of this fucking detail stuff. If they ask you for details, every time, explosive diarrhea. They will want to hear no more.
So we're moving to Portland because it's pretty. And I just smacked my lipsy tongues together. It's pretty.
You know, I could have edited that out.
I know, but now I talked about it. Now you have to edit out me. Now you have to edit out me talking about it. And I'm sorry about that, too.
Or I could leave it in. And
here, we'll start all over again.
You could do it. And then every time you do it, we could just reference it then at that point.
What you can do is instead of hearing me do it, we can put in a little sound like boing, 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 boing. That would be actually pretty cool.
So, yes, we're moving to Portland.
We're moving to Portland because it's pretty.
It is pretty in Portland. And we have friends there. They've also got Powell's City of Books.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Powell's City of Books is the biggest bookstore on the planet. And other planets that we know of also. It's the biggest out of all of them, as far as I know. It's the biggest in America.
How big is it?
It's so big that when it sits around the house, it sits around the house.
Well, folks, it takes up an entire city block, and I think it's about 3 or 4 stories high. And when you go in there, they give you a map.
They do. And there's Powell's Technical Books, which is like across the street and like a little satellite that gravitates towards Powell's City of Books and just kind of like orbits around it. Powell's City of Books, their art section is the size of a Borders.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Just the art section.
And if you are a person who is as fond of books as we are, what would that be? A bookophile? A librophiliac? Maybe?
I think that's somebody who wants to fuck books.
Yes, if you're a librophiliac such as we are, one could spend an entire day lost in the glorious stacks of fantastic, beautiful books.
May I interrupt you real quick?
By all means.
Bibliophile.
Oh, that's right. I think that you know what's going to happen now is the people of Portland are going to be waiting for us at the border, you know, the border of the city, and they are going to just be like, you fucking can't come in. I think you love books, but you don't. You don't even know how to say bibliophile.
I think that they'll let me in for knowing. And as a matter of fact, they'll be like, welcome home, brother. And then they will treat you like, you know, my pack animal. They'll throw some, like, water skins over your back and then make you climb the windy road.
Because the thing about the people of Portland is they like to read. They're readers.
Yeah, I think that you actually looked up a statistic. When we first decided to move to Portland, all you did was look up statistics on Portland and facts and information and everything. You are a researcher, which may grant you access into the fair city of Portland, Oregon.
I just had this image of Portland as like the Emerald City in The Wizard of Oz. It's got rays of light shooting out from behind the skyscrapers. And there are also fewer people in Portland, which is freaking great because
I just remembered.
Sick of people. Okay, go ahead.
I just remembered. Okay. You looked up a statistic that said that more people in Portland, Oregon read books than any other city. They have more readers per capita.
Per square mile or something.
I don't even know exactly what per capita means, but I think that you told me per capita more readers.
That sounds about right,
and they're,
Justin.
They're about to get two more, so we're going to push the percentage.
That's right. It's also full of hippies. And
now, is that a pro or a con?
I think that's a pro. I also hear that it's got a nice, healthy gay and lesbian community.
And this is a pro?
This is absolutely a pro. Especially, I mean, you know, when you look at it, right now we live in the gay and lesbian neighborhood of Long Beach. And I think that we enjoy the culture and the happiness that is brought by this wonderfully diverse population.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And I always think that when they have the Pride Festival here in Long Beach, about a block away from our house, it's awesome.
It's the funnest day of the entire year.
Everybody in our neighborhood is just so happy because they're all going to get laid.
And there's so much love in the air. So much love and hollering and hooting and dancing and lots of nakedness.
Naked people everywhere, as far as the eye can see.
Butts hanging out and jiggling all over the place. The cross-dressers are my favorite.
Now, getting back to what you were saying about the hippies.
Yeah.
Now, I see it as a pro and a con. And the only thing really that I see that's really pro about it is that we will not have a hard time looking for vegetarian restaurants,
right?
Health food,
mm-hmm.
Things that are good for you,
right?
The con side of it is that we will see a lot of hippies,
right?
And hippies, although kind-hearted, tend to be incredibly annoying, just obnoxious people.
Well, so, and I would venture to say that that's pro because at least things will always be interesting; they mm-hmm. won't be boring.
Let me give you another con about Portland, now that we're talking about the dark side of Portland.
Well, you brought up the dark side. But keep going. The seedy underbelly of Portland.
Let me tell you about the dark side of Portland. Our friends, we have friends there, but we also have friends here. Who do we love more?
Adventure is the friend we love the best.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
I think that that's where we need to go with that one.
Yeah. But in all honesty, I will miss our friends that we have here. And the other thing about Portland that maybe isn't so ideal, which we like, actually, is the constant rain.
Now, oh, yes.
We like rain. We have never lived somewhere where you get about a week without rain every year. So that will be a new experience for us.
Okay, that's not an accurate portrayal of Portland.
Two weeks.
They have months of no rain. And I might also interject that I lived in Roseburg, Oregon for a year in my youth, and I do know what that feels like.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying. You know, but we actually are. We're very odd Californians in that, you know, we don't really appreciate this weather that we get, you know, that's just so mild all the time. And we're going to a place that's sort of overcast and misty and drizzly and so wonderfully
dramatic. You know what I was thinking about earlier today? And I'm thinking about it now again because of something you just said. Mm-hmm. Odd Californians. I think that there's really two kinds of people. Okay?
Okay.
Three kinds.
Okay.
But the third kind doesn't count, so we're only going to talk about the first two. There's city mouse, and there's country mouse.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, I knew a lot of people in Ohio growing up where they grew up in Ohio, their family was from Ohio, and they've spent their whole entire life in Ohio. They've never left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's like a country mouse, right? Well, I've met people in Long Beach who have never left Los Angeles, never left Long Beach. They've lived here their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's country mouse. Like, if you've never experienced the rest of the world, you are just as, like I was talking about today with my dad, like, going over to my friend's house and, like, playing in the farms and stuff and, like, running through cornfields. And, like, people here have, like, no idea what that's about. And it's like, to me, you haven't experienced things like, you know, like going to Hawaii and then mm-hmm. coming here. This weather, the skies are gray compared to what you get in Hawaii,
so
you know?
It's so vivid and beautiful there, yeah.
And so, like, City Mouse, that's the one that, like, knows about the world and travels and has experiences. And, like, Country Mouse lives in your heart. Country Mouse does not, you know, because you live in the country. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's really beautifully put, and I love that they're mice. And, we may have to revisit this because this is a new concept to me and I have to ponder it. You know, I'm not one that just instantly knows what to say about things presented to me in such a metaphoric style, but I like it. I like what you're saying here. I don't know where I fit because I've only ever lived one other place, and that's Oregon, and that's only for a year. So I don't really know if, you know, I guess I'm a little more country. But,
yeah, but you are a traveler. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I love to travel, but I thought you were talking about living other places. Well, see, because for example, I have a coworker. She loves travel. She's traveled all over the place. But whenever she travels to another place, she tries to find food comparable to American food to eat.
See, that's bullshit.
See, now that's Country Mouse in the city. Do you know what I'm saying?
That is Country Mouse in the city.
So that doesn't make her a city mouse.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. So at least I know how to play this game.
Yes. Now, the third kind is the urban crocodile.
So I want to just mention a couple other things real quick about our move to Portland so that everybody knows, you know, what we've got in store for us. We're going to be renting a nice 20-foot Penske truck, and I've done a lot of research and found out that Penske is the best truck to go with. U-Haul, not so great.
How much research have you done?
A lot. I've read all about it.
What does Penske mean?
Actually looked up actually why we'd want to have, you know, practical reasons why we would want to choose Penske. But anyway, so 20-foot Penske truck and a packet full of all of our stuff, including the motorcycle. And one of us is going to drive the Penske truck. And then one of us is going to drive our little 2003 Saturn Ion, which will be cozily packed with two cats. And we're going to trek our way, a good 22-hour drive. We're going to have two stops along the way to Portland.
Should we get CB radios so we can talk to each other back and forth?
Maybe if there's a long stretch of road with nothing going on. I suspect that it would probably be safer to have hands-free. I'm paranoid, okay? I just don't, I don't fucking want to die, you know?
Well, okay, what if we get Bluetooth-enabled headset things like those fucking Star Trek people
yes,
that you see walking
fine.
Around the mall?
Absolutely fine.
Can I just say, real quick, as an aside to the listening audience, if you wear a cell phone in your ear 24 hours a day, you look a lot like a jackass.
You look like the biggest blowhard pansy ever. It sucks. And you know what's even worse is when you walk around talking on the damn thing and nobody can tell mm-hmm. that you're on the phone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I think that cell phone technology has kind of made people a little more irritating to me.
Yes, I agree.
Know? Yeah. So, yeah, and it doesn't help that you have a fucking, like, the kit car fucking red beam going back and forth on the side of your head. You look like a fucking idiot. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, when it never comes off, that's,
yeah.
That's offensive.
Unless you're a drug dealer or a customer service rep, take your fucking phone off your head and act like a normal human being. And you know what? Don't tuck in your shirt either. Untuck your fucking shirt. You look like a fucking nerd. All right. Carrying on.
Oh, there are so many people who hate us now. Anyway.
I'm just trying to help. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you are a fucking nerd. I'm just saying, and I'm not even saying being a fucking nerd is bad. I'm just saying you look like one.
When we moved to Portland, Portland.
I'm here
to
help.
We're moving to Portland.
They call it the City of Bridges.
They call it the City of Bridges, and they call it the City of Roses, in fact.
They do not call it the City of Rose Bridges, rose-colored bridges.
No, nor do they call it the City of Broken Hearts, nor do they call it the City of Wind Tunnels, nor do they call it Gotham.
The Windy City, that would be Chicago.
Yes, but not Wind Tunnels.
No.
So
the Big Apple, that's New York.
Yes, very, very well said, dear. Very excited about moving there, and we're
Portland.
Going to be able to get We're going to be able to move from our 400 square foot studio apartment here in Long Beach, which now currently inhabits two full-grown adults and two cats, to we'll be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment or perhaps a freestanding house. One room we can convert into a working area for us where we can close the cats out, and the other will be our bedroom, and the cats will be happier and we will be happier.
I was thinking about this today. You know, renting is really like, it works for right now, but you know, it would be nice to move into a place where we can start putting money into our home, like putting, instead of the money just kind of disappearing and kind of, you know, there it goes. It would be nice to think that these thousands of dollars going into our living environment was actually going towards, like, getting us something, whether it be a home or some sort of a, what do they call that when it's, like, collateral, when
mm-hmm.
it's worth...
Equity.
Equity, yeah. Like, all of these things, I think, are desirable things that, like, as an American, we should want.
Yes, that's a good thing for us capitalists to want to do. But no, I agree with you. It's better than throwing your money into a trash can every month. But I think that is actually what we were planning to do, and that's another reason why we're moving out of state. Because, well, although the housing market is now changing dramatically here in California as opposed to even 1 year ago, we can probably afford real estate in Oregon. And I believe that was part of the plan, was to save up to purchase some sort of real estate.
Dude, nobody can afford to live out here in California. And if you could, why the fuck would you want to? I mean, because, like, the kind of house you could buy out here, there are going to be dudes living, like, right on your front lawn. Like,
that's
there are
true.
People fucking everywhere here. And that is, you know what? If you want to, if it's ever in that place where it's like, oh, I don't know if we should move to Portland, fucking call me when I'm coming down the 405 at 5 o'clock. And I will, let's go right fucking now. Like,
yeah.
I hate the traffic here.
Chances are, wherever you live in the greater Los Angeles area, you have got to drive probably a 20-mile drive, but will take you a solid hour to an hour and a half to make that 20-mile drive every single day.
It is disgusting. My dad was telling me about this commercial he saw for Visa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I guess it's like those Bugs Bunny cartoons where it's like, dun, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you go into a store and like plates are spinning and people are like throwing things up in the air and like people are getting toys and juggling them and like the person comes up to the check stand and they're like ringing them out and they're like, you know, just beep, beep and like juggling them through and everything's going smoothly. And then the person like gives them the Visa card and goes and it goes right through. And the next person hands them cash and everything goes and it stops. And everything fucking falls apart. And it is like...
I love that.
You like that? I think that's fucking offensive.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's disgusting. It's totally repugnant that they're telling us how to use our... Like, you are not the right kind of consumer.
Yeah, but I'm really sick. That's why I like it. I like it because I'm really sick. And, you know, I see a dark and bleak future for mankind and for America. And I just see this as another manifestation of the disease that will kill us. And it makes me so happy to see the cancer grow.
Nice.
I love seeing the cancer grow.
I think it's fucking horrible. It makes me deeply offended that they don't want us to know how much money we're spending. They just want us to fucking keep sending it through.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
zip.
I would imagine that there are people, and I was shocked. I've been shocked when I've realized how many people there are who don't actually balance their checkbooks. They just use the ATM card, and if the money's there, it goes through. And you know, all those overdraft fees that they have to pay every time they run their card and there's no money in there because they don't know how much money is in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about full-grown people, people in their 40s, 50s. People who know better, who don't ever pay it, you know.
And
that's
you know
how they're
what?
Living their lives, and that's what that commercial is saying, is please live your life this way.
Yeah, exactly. And continue to vote the way you're voting. You know, like, don't fucking inform yourself on anything ever. Just fucking, you know what? Yes, there's only two parties to choose from. That's the way you vote, okay? Because we say so. You all agree. Don't vote for somebody with radical ideas, because that never works. And it's like, we just fucking buy into everything that we're fed.
Yeah, it's true. The reason why I love that commercial and it just delights me and tickles me is the same reason why I like movies like Cloverfield. You want to know why I liked Cloverfield? Because New York got fucked up, and things got smashed, and people screamed, and they got killed, and it looked like it might be the end of mankind. And I'm really obsessed with the fall of America, and I think it's going to be happening. I believe that it'll be China that will take over, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And this is just another little blip on the map on the way to our demise, and just makes me so excited because that means that the good stuff's going to happen later. But it's coming closer. That's good.
Hmm. I also believe that it will be China that takes us over.
People out there are like, that fatalistic evil bitch. I hate her.
Oh, don't assign a personality to our listener. Maybe,
I know,
maybe
no,
they're like,
they might be like, yeah,
a fatalistic evil bitch. I want to do her. I totally want to Beelzebub her.
Actually, I think the people will find as they get to know me that I'm a woman of many ideas, and they all clash, and I'm absolutely okay with that.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Yeah. That's what I like about you.
That's what I like about
you
too.
Is that you want humanity to end, and and you have been practicing, you brushing up on your calligraphy and your Chinese. So, anyways, so this was a movie review about Cloverfield. I'm just kidding.
No, I don't want to talk about Cloverfield. Hell no.
That was a joke.
No.
That's the joke.
We've beaten that dead horse.
We've been talking about nothing but Portland for the last hour 04.
No, we really haven't. We've been diverging from talking about Portland, actually. But that was our topic, in fact, might I add. And I would like to suggest that one of our next segments include a talk about one or two things that we have to do once we get to Portland. That would be fun.
Find a job.
That would be fun.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? If we found the right job, it would be fun.
It would be fun. You're right.
So, for me, actually, speaking of finding a job, this is something I'm very excited about.
Okay.
Not a lot of people know this.
Hmm.
I have written a few children's books. Books for children. And actually, you know what? Scratch that. I have written a few compelling stories that children will also enjoy. And I'm in the middle of illustrating one of them right now. I'm actually 7 pages in, and I think it's like 20 pages long. So pretty good, I think. I did 7 pages in one day. And that was a long day. And I gave a story to you.
Yes.
And I gave a story to our friend Steph.
Yes.
And these people will be illustrating two of the other stories. And I'm thinking about giving one to Dennis and seeing if he's interested in doing one. And eventually, we'd like to have them published. And
not eventually. In November.
Eventually in November, we'd like to have them published and then start doing book signings and start going around with that. And what would be really cool is if I had a job like that, where I just did stuff and made things and was able to support myself financially just by doing that. So if you're listening to this and you're a book agent and you want to, and you're really tired of selling crappy children's books, now is the time to get on board the fucking Justin train.
I don't think you need an agent.
If you want to buy a children's book and you're tired of looking at crappy children's books, it's time to buy your book from me.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He's the next rising star.
We'll post a link to my brain from the internet.
Yeah, you know what you should do, actually? You should start a blog that shows your process and you know, your sketches and your proofs and
you sound like
your
my
progress.
Brother.
No, but, you know, people are really interested in that, you know? Like, they want to learn about... The people who don't do want to live vicariously through the ones who do do.
I understand that. But our cat is like just fucking rubbing his fucking crotch all over our other cat. Take that, bitch.
It's the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It influences the cats deeply.
You think so? I think he's just fucking with him.
Yeah.
And okay. That was incredibly distracting.
Yeah, you probably should cut that out, actually. So you don't think that there should be a blog?
It's not that I don't think there should be a blog. I would love for there to be a blog. I would think it would be totally awesome if there was a blog. I don't want to be the one to fucking sit here and have to scan every single thing
in.
Oh,
yeah, you're right.
And fucking write about it. Like, I just want to get it done. I want to do the drawings. I want to do the illustrations. And I want to be able, at the end of the day, to be like, I'm done working.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Maybe I'll do it.
Be my guest.
I'll do it.
Anybody who wants to promote me, you're welcome to it. Same thing goes for my brother. I mean, he's been saying, I'm going to come down there and look at all your drawings and all the shit that you don't like. I'm going to start selling it to people. And you know what? I welcome it. If you want to come down here and look through my portfolio and start selling things, be my fucking guest.
You still owe him a painting for Christmas.
I do. But why would you bring that up?
Because you were talking about the stuff that he talks about doing and is not doing. And then I thought about how you promised to do something for him and you haven't done it yet.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'm not punishing him for not doing it. I'm just saying.
I'm not punishing you either.
I'm just saying you're welcome to do it.
You're welcome to do yours. I think we're done.
So anyways, yes, we are moving to Portland. And yes, Beelzo... What is the frog's name again?
I don't remember. Beelzo Barfo.
Not Barfo. It's like
I don't remember.
Beelzo Bofo.
I don't remember. Beelzo okay. Mofo.
He's a bad Beelzo Mofo. Shut your mouth. He's just trying to eat a dinosaur. Anywhooski. Yes, we are moving to Portland. And yes, Beelzo Bofo is coming to get ya. So, in the meantime... Oh, and thank you, Matt, again, for fucking the fabulous music. And we'll have some here for the fade-out at the end of the podcast as well. And that's it.
That does it. So, what should the audience do?
They should go Beelzo Bofo each other.
Until next time.
And then they should go start a ruckus.
Okay, no. Give me your tacos.